The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and The Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 335 of the 9 Years podcast. I am Nick Draper, joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week, or following us however you may be, maybe on YouTube, on Spotify, however you have done it. We don't have any games to talk about this week, because our game with Paulie this weekend was postponed, but we have a couple of games to look forward to, and we are going to look back over the defeats to Ipswich and Wrexham, because we haven't had a podcast in that time in which to discuss those two defeats. And we have a couple of, in fact, three new additions, new in inverted commas additions to the squad to talk about. Stu, we want to start very quickly with the Crawley game that was postponed on Friday. Frozen pitch. And now, in some sections, it was said perhaps did we go a little bit early in calling it off, especially given that Crawley are, you know, one of our most local opponents. They wouldn't have had far to travel. Could we have just evaluated it on the Saturday morning? But it does sound like there was no chance whatsoever. And doing it early, just at least let everyone know where they stood when they woke up on Saturday morning, I guess.
Yeah, I was at Power Lane on Friday. We were doing some work with the stadium tours. We were doing some coaching and stuff with all tour guides. And we were sort of... Yeah, we were. I had a quick nosy on the pitch, and the chief groundsman was looking at it, and I could see he was trying to get something into it. I don't know if he did a key trick anymore or something like that, but he wasn't taking anything. And I had a quick chat with him, and he was honest and said, look, even in the sunny areas where the pitch, you know, we had the heaters on, the big massive heater things that we had, and that was drying out that side of the pitch, where, you know, obviously where the West End hangs over, we can't get the sun there. But that part of the pitch was fine. But he was saying to me that even the parts of the pitch that have been out in the sun all the time, because the temperatures hadn't been above freezing, it just hadn't had a chance. And I think, do you know what? I think what we have to also factor in is that it also saves some cost as well. If we did have the game, we'd done a 11 o'clock, and we could do because Crawley are local. But if we did 11 o'clock, then all the hospitality, all the staff, everyone will be in, and you've got to pay them. So you just got to be sensible with it, really. So I sort of understand it, but it was mighty cold. And I think, hey, look, I think there's people going, oh, well, it's convenient we postponed it because of the players we had missing. I think we're a bit more professional than that, and that didn't come into the equation.
It's a few elements to this, because I know I make you right when you're talking about the cost savings that we would have made having called the game off the day before. And I should say at this point, by the idea of waiting until the Saturday morning, especially against if we'd have been playing Grimsby, for example, I'd have said, no, fair enough, get it done on the Friday. But I understand the argument when you're playing Crawley, you've got a little bit more wiggle room potentially. So I do have sympathy with that argument. When it comes to the cost of hospitality and things like that, like you mentioned, I guess, though, that doesn't come into the decision. How much of a say? We don't really have a say in it at all, do we? If the referee got a local referee, a local official in to look at the pitch, and if they say no, then we don't really have much. We have nowhere to go with that. We can't influence that.
No, you can't. Anything that influences the way the game plays is whether the pitch is playable or the safety conditions.
Around the stadium as well, I guess.
You know. But that was fine. There was no ice around the stadium. Okay. So, the local referee did come in when I was there, and he had a good look, he had a very good look at the pitch. They'd take, obviously, notes on about what the weather anticipation is and stuff. He had a good look and called it off. So, I think it was the right decision. I was at the Oxford game in the week, and it was absolutely freezing. I don't think I've ever been so cold, apart from probably some days down at Hawley or a Margate on the Combine Counties. It was more, yeah, do you know what I mean? So, you know, give you an example, my iPad wouldn't charge. It came up with a message saying it would start charging again when it had reached a certain temperature. So my iPad was too cold to charge. I've not seen that ever on my iPad. Hey, look, I think it's the right decision. From a pure selfish point of view, yes, the game, I think, has got to be arranged within a month. There isn't many dates, to be fair. We've got quite a lot of Tuesday fixtures. So I think it probably fits in probably mid-February, if I think the earliest, and we will have our players back by then. So, look, for us, it's good. But yeah, that's just a bit of luck with it. You know, no one was blowing over plough lane, were they, to make sure it was frozen?
I mean, for me, personally speaking, I would have rather the game went ahead in the terms of not really fancy another midweek game into a schedule. But then also, selfishly, couldn't really be bothered this weekend. I had a long week. I was tired. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Instead of rushing around on Saturday, I can just actually chill for a bit and take myself off. I'm quite happy. But
Yeah, and we've
anyway.
got, and you're right, we've got quite a lot of, we've got like quite a lot of midweek games. You know, we just had a Grimsby game that was scheduled for
Yeah.
when we played it, but that's been scheduled. That's our birthday game, as you
No.
know. But
So, I don't know what
yeah,
I'm going to do with that one, to be honest with you, Stu, because you know,
gotta go for your birthday. Do you know what I mean?
but it's a
Like, my
big, it's a
wife
big,
just
it's a big birthday. It's a big 3-0 this year, as you well know. So, do I want to spend my big?
you've finally reached it.
I've finally reached the big 3-0, and I don't think I really want to spend it watching Grimsby Town. With all due respect to Grimsby Town, but you know,
Well, do you know what? If you don't want to do that, then a week after it's Gillingham,
oh,
as
is
a
that
midweek game.
what? What? This is what I
We've got a
mean.
lot of it,
Only midweek
and
games.
we could have. I looked in March. We could potentially have three midweek, because I think the Crawley game will be scheduled for the week after Gillingham, and I think we've already got three home games on Saturdays in that month. So there is a lot of football going to be played at Plough Lane.
Too much for me. Oh well.
And them as well, which that's the razzmatazz, doesn't
Yeah, well, we'll come on to
it?
them in a little while. Talk about cold games, by the way. Actually, there's a couple I think we forget. I think we played Blackburn at King's Meadow a few years ago, and it was a midweek game as well. We lost 3-0, of course we did. But yeah, that was a really, really cold one that evening as well. I think we, anyway, doesn't matter. Let's review some of these games chronologically. I mean, the Blackburn, mentioned Blackburn there actually brings me on to something I want to mention when we talk about Wrexham. And I actually have notes, but still I've left them in the wrong room. So when I go and get them in about 5 minutes' time, you can just entertain the listeners for us. But
Sure, I can.
we'll start off with Ipswich. And can I just say, so a couple of weeks ago, Ipswich in the FA Cup, we lost 3-1. We know we didn't have Ali Alhamady. We know we didn't have Omar Bugle. Joe Lewis at that time was, in inverted commas, ill. We will come back to that one later as well. But can I just say, like, okay, yeah, I mean, 12:30 kickoff as well didn't help. There was an air of inevitability, I think, about it that most of us felt going into the game. And I think that transpired in or came across in the atmosphere on the day. It was a bit lacking and what have you. But all that said, as disappointing as it was, and as flat as it sort of was, my big takeaway was just fair play Ipswich, because I thought they came and did a super professional job. They came, they played their football, they were the better team, they were comfortably the better team. Even with a few changes, but they came and did what they had to do, and they didn't cause any fuss. They just got on with it and moved on. And I just thought, you know what? I was impressed by them as a team and as a club that day.
Yeah, do you know what? I agree with you, actually. Obviously, obviously we're doing the Don Steve. I'm in the media area and stuff, and all their media people were very polite, kind. Generally, you're right. Yeah, do you know what? You've probably made a very good point there. They just generally didn't time waste. They didn't play act.
No.
They play a nice bit of football. It was interesting when you look at it. If you look at stats, we both high press. We both were leading in the turnovers, high press. So it was really interesting. Obviously, we didn't have Ali and we didn't have Omar, which obviously makes a bit of a difference. But do you know what? They played. I thought Morsi was the best player on the pitch by a mile. You know, when he turned out from Harry Pell, and Harry Pell stupidly got the booking by, you know, trying to get a ball that was never near him. But it was really interesting because I like the way we play with that high press. And at times it did unsettle them, but ultimately they broke through more times than not. Anyway, even though we got the goal back, it never felt that we were going to get back into the game. And it was a bit flat. I was a bit flat, obviously, knowing that we'd lost Ali and Omar. That's a gutter, because they do so much for our forward and defensively, because they work so hard. But then when you see Joe Lewis is ill, you're thinking, right, your whole spine. Yeah, and hey, look, I think we all know the ill comment now. Obviously, Johnny Jackson has said that there was, Joe Lewis was going to go back to Stockport. So that was obviously happening at the time. But when you feel like you've lost quite a bit of your spine, your team that's so important to us, against a team that, let's be fair, are doing very well in the championship, it was a hard day. It was hard. And half 12, yeah, you're right. Half 12 just done it, went in. Like, I couldn't get. It felt like I was behind the whole day. Like, it just, oh, I don't like after 12 kickoffs, 3 p.m.s all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just say as well, Sam Morsy, yes, very, very impressive. Jack Taylor, who scored their third goal as well, I thought alongside him, sort of in that midfield, was very, very a player I don't really know about, to be honest with you, before then, but I very much impressed him. But as I say, we can't have any complaints. Harry Pell did get sent off. He got a second booking for leading with his arm. It was a bit, again, it was a bit daft. I don't think it affected the game really, the outcome whatsoever. I think Ipswich were as good as they needed to be, and if they needed to up it, they could have done. Especially with the strength they had on the bench. But I thought we gave it, do you know what? I thought we couldn't really do much more. I thought, I don't think we embarrassed ourselves either whatsoever. We scored, and we scored in the period of the game, probably our best period of the game. But,
And we found new penalties. We found the new penalty saver, haven't we? Which is great,
yeah, it's
you
crazy. When you look at the way he takes penalties, you
know.
think, why weren't you doing this from minute one of the season?
Yeah, but it's a difficult one, is it? Because as much as I would like to say, why is Jay Reeves not taking the penalties? I've always been a big, big person saying that forwards should take penalties. I think, you know, forwards score goals. I've always said that, you know. So I'm not going to be hypocritical now. Go, why is Jake not taking them? But equally, Ali ain't going to get them back from Jake. And there's no reason to at the moment. Just, you know, Addy's on 17 goals. Imagine what he would have scored if he put a few penalties early on. You know,
But didn't
he's
score
in.
until
I
October,
think
did he? Or end of September?
exactly. He gave everyone else a bit of a head start, but you know, it hit 20 goals, no doubt. And the great news is that he's having some warm weather training out in Qatar, and he's not playing. So Iraq are doing us a favour. They're resting our player. He's basically having a mid-season break, isn't he? He's having a winter break.
He is having a winter break and a mini rant about the Premier League doing this. This is how nonsense our society is, Stu. The Premier League go, we want a winter break. And they're like, oh, but we can't possibly have a whole week without any Premier League football on TV. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll split it over 2 weeks. So half can have 1 week and half. Absolute nonsense, honestly. TV
Know,
is ruined for.
I didn't realize it until who was it? A Brentford manager moaned that they were going to have to delay their winter break because of the FA Cup replay. And I was like, what's he on about? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's gutted that he's got, well, if you can't win the game the first time, then it's your own fault.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's been a really weird one, isn't it? And it's also, I just noticed the women's team have had a winter break as well.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Why can't that just, I think the women's game is all about being pure and not bringing all, I don't have VAR and that sort of stuff. So bad idea for them to have a winter break, but they're back playing now.
Yeah, I must admit, I have been enjoying sort of on BBC. They normally have a Sunday game in the Women's League, and I do tend to have it on, even if just in the background sometimes, and I've quite enjoyed it. But I've switched it on today. It's Chelsea Man U, and as you know, Stu, everyone listening to the podcast knows I absolutely hate Chelsea. But and they've won, but that's not what bothers me. There were just little instances where, again, the women's game was just trying to copy the men's games. Like, no, don't stop trying to be the men's game. Like things like opposition fans were winding up players and the players were giving it back to the crowd. I was like, I actually don't want to see this in the women's game. Like, I want to get away
No,
from
that.
that. That's what the men do, and we all kind of get annoyed by it. So stop trying to be like them. But anyway,
I
that's
agree.
just a mini rant.
Okay.
Can you entertain the listeners for 30 seconds whilst I get a quick bit of research that I did ahead of the or following the Wrexham game?
Well, yeah, let me do some. I'll do some commentary on the Wrexham game whilst you're going away.
Okay, do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make it really obvious that I'm leaving, so everyone can hear sort of like how I'm actually getting up and leaving the space. But yeah, give your pressy of the Wrexham game for the listeners, Jim.
Oh, this is worrying. Nick's going to really worry about me. I'm looking after this. So Wrexham game. So a few changes into that. Obviously, we had no Ali Alhamadi or Omar, and it was an interesting first half. Wrexham. I think we surprised Wrexham in terms of our high press. We obviously done quite well with certain movements in terms of their Sasu did really well. Davison had some early chances. Sasu hit the crossbar, and you could tell Wrexham were quite rattled with it. And it was just a shame we couldn't get that first half goal before the break. Old Wrexham obviously were gonna do something at half time, because actually, if they did, we were probably going to run out quite comfortable winners. And probably the best chance of the game was Josh Davison early in the second half, and unfortunately, he shot wide. And Nick's back with his notes now. He's just looking and thinking, "What are you talking about, Steve?" So that was about 30 seconds.
That's what I say to all the girls. What were you saying?
I was just talking about a brief description of what happened in the first half, with Sasu playing really well, hitting a crossbar, a few chances, Wrexham, and the worry was always going to go if we didn't get a goal before half time. that Wrexham were naturally going to regroup, which they did, which was a shame.
Okay. Do you want the research I did about this Wrexham game?
Yes.
Okay, so I know you did a nice job of this, sort of how we were on top in the first half, and people said that we played really, really well and stuff like that. But this sort of tends to happen, because I was thinking back to the days when we were like top of the conference, the amount of games we'd turn up and not play very well in, but we had better players and we'd win the game without being particularly impressive. And I think that's what it boils down to. Wrexham, obviously, with the spend they've had, that they've got a squad of better players, and that's what it boiled down to. But the 2-0 defeat just felt like to me, I wish I could have put money on it, that I did put money on, because it felt like this is what happens as AFC Wimbledon in the Football League. It just feels like we go away to the teams in the promotion places and we always sort of just lose like 1 or 2 nil. We never get hammered, but we never win. And I did some research to see if my statistics back this up. I've looked at that fixtures against the teams that ended up getting automatic promotion from our division ever since we returned to the Football League in 2011. Okay, now my maths. Oh, no, it's because there's only two. Because when we were in League One, there were only two teams that got promoted, didn't they? So it actually will work out. So I think there's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 17, 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 30 games, right? Where we've gone away from home to the teams that ended up getting automatically promoted. Obviously, Wrexham are currently in those positions, but we haven't reached the end of the season. So I haven't included what was the top three at the time I did this, which was Stockport, Wrexham and Mansfield. Can't include those. So 30 fixtures. How many of those 30 fixtures away from home against teams that ended up in the automatic promotion places, how many do you think we won?
Oh, out of 30?
Yeah.
5.
Lower.
No way. 3.
Lower.
Oh. 2.
2.
Out of 30. Oh,
can you name those two wins?
No, I can't remember. Gillingham.
No.
Did you ever play one time?
We did. We drew 2-0 when we stayed up.
Blackburn.
Yep. Blackburn, 1-0.
We beat them in their place, didn't we?
Yeah, Ewood Park, Kwesi Appiah. And then the one you won't get this one, I don't think. We won Rochdale in what would have been 2013-14 season. I think that was the game where the floodlights failed at some point.
Wasn't that when Andy Frampton scored? It was lightning and very, very frightening.
Yes, that game, yeah.
Andy Frampton scored, yeah. Mad. I didn't go, but I remember, delayed heavily and a waterlogged pitch near enough at the end.
Yeah, there was all sorts going on that day. But yeah, so in 30 games, two wins. But in terms of defeats by more than two goals, there have only been 4. Which was Port Vale, 3-0, Sheffield United 4-0.
Remember that, yeah.
That was a midweek, yeah. Then Sheffield United 4-0, Peterborough 3-0. I think that was a COVID season. I don't think anyone could attend. and then finally, Rotherham 3-0 in League One. So, and I think that was a midweek as well, if I remember correctly. So overall, our record is a bit rubbish. Which is ironic, because back in the old Wimbledon FC days, we'd always seem to do really well against the teams up at the top of the table and nick points and go. Often we'd win at Highbury and Old Trafford and Anfield. We'd often go there. We'd even beat some of the minor teams as well, like Chelsea and things like that at the time. But our record against the teams struggling against relegation was always awful. And AFC Wimbledon, we seem to be absolutely awful against the top teams and absolutely awful against the bottom teams as well. We like the teams in the middle. That's who we like to be.
I think this season, I think the biggest frustration I've had is that I think it's probably the first time we've had a really competitive, probably top 10 team as a team. You know, unless you're fair, we've got some really good players. Yeah, and I think the frustration is when we looked at January's fixtures, we all looked and went, wow, it's a tough January. One, because we didn't know who we were going to keep. We didn't know we were going to bring anyone in. And then we obviously didn't know about Omar joining Ali. So I think it's just that you look at it and you go, I just would have been interested to see what we would have done with Omar, Davison, and Ali. And I think that's the frustration. And then typically is that it looks like only Omar's going to be the one that's going to come back unless Levin get a result in the next couple of days. But it looks like Ali's going to stay longer. in Qatar, which I'm sure he's devastated in that weather out there. But I think, yeah, you know, look, we've got Mansfield and, you know, next week, and then, and yeah, I think it's just that frustration. But yeah, look, when we look at Wrexham, we've got Ollie Palmer, Dolby, Boyle on the bench. It's just like, yeah, you know, and our bench was weaker because of, you know, the challenges we had with team.
Yeah, injuries and suspensions, but yeah, I mean, and people were also frustration with, especially people were frustrated with the quality of the goals we conceded, especially the first one. But Stu, just a quick tactical discussion here, because you will know more than me. I watched the second goal back, and for me, the second goal was worse than the first. I think the first goal can happen because that's obviously a routine that they've practiced, and they had the runner running off and two players doubling up on Sasu, which meant one could free themselves up and whatever. I think, you know what, in football, we always moan about teams where if you don't score goals from corners and free kicks, people say, why have they not scored from set pieces? And then you concede them and they go, why are you conceding from set pieces? Right? You know what I mean? You have to give and take on that one. The second
Yeah, and
goal.
our record's good from set pieces. It's obviously someone lost their man around the back stick. But then you look at players they've got, Fletcher and stuff. They're players that can play above this level easily. On that second goal, yeah, stop the cross.
Well,
There's lots. There's look at this. There's so many things you could have done
I'm glad
differently.
you said that, because here's what I did. Okay, so when I watched it from the moment, I think their centre half had the ball quite high up the pitch, to be fair. And I looked at our back four, and it was spread across the width of the pitch. And first of all, I'm thinking, when you go away from home to teams on the table, do you not try and keep things narrow and defend your 18-yard box, especially against the quality they've got? That's what I thought. And again, I don't know, and somebody might explain to me why our back four were so stretched at that point. But anyway, that was my first observation. Second observation is the ball gets played forward into Fletcher, no pressure. So we're used to our high press closing down, no pressure on that. It drops to Fletcher, and Joe Lewis comes out, and he steps out, and he doesn't get there, and he gets done. And as soon as that happens, we're on the back foot and we're in trouble. And then, yeah, from there, I think the reason I've sort of wanted to highlight these and point these things out is because I think a lot of the talk about it was the fact that the ball ends up bouncing off Jack Curry and landing at the player's feet, Bowen's feet. And I'm just thinking there's a lot that's happened before that. And then I guess the final thing is, yeah, is there enough pressure on the cross, or is that being hypercritical? I don't know.
I think the thing is, they had a 10-minute spell. They scored the first goal, and they got on top of us. And yeah, I think Joe Lewis had been spun early on by Mullins. Mullins has spun him and got a free kick. So I think he was a bit wary coming out. It's one of the difficult ones, isn't it? Because when you've got players like Fletcher and Mullins, you don't necessarily want to sit in a box. It's a case of who picks up. Does the defence come in and pick up one, or do you know, does Joe Lewis come out? And to be fair to Joe, he can come out sometimes and wipe out. But I just think the quality you've got of that's the difference. It's just the quality they had with that. And then yeah, you squeeze across, and then literally yeah, it comes over Jono's head, doesn't it? And Jack can't react. And it looks, but you know, you look at it, the amount of mistakes Jack Curry makes, minimal.
Oh God, this is why I
It's
got I
just it was just.
thought it was a bit unfair. I think he was scapegoated almost for that goal, and I thought it wasn't quite. I thought it was a bit unfair.
Yeah, and it was just a 10-minute spell where we just got overrun. And do you know what, Wrexham, from what you listened to, I listened to the Wrexham commentary, and they were surprised. They thought we were very good. They thought we did very well against them. And they were impressed with Jack Curry and that. You know, and ultimately, we just got, you know, I think they had quite a lot of pressure at home. And Johnny Jackson said in his post-match that they expected to be under, you know, we were expected to be under Kosh. And actually, we weren't under that much Kosh, apart from 10 minutes. Those 10 minutes, we could see 2 goals. And we didn't convert anything from the chances that we had, and that was the story of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, a little bit frustrating, but I think mainly just disappointing, because I think everyone wanted to get one over Wrexham, because as we've seen in the past with clubs like Fisher and Chelmsford and Salford City and Fleetwood Town, we don't like clubs that get rich people to buy players for them. But anyway, an unrelated note, we've signed Joe Lewis from Stockport County for a six-figure sum.
We believe so. Yeah, we believe so. So it's been interesting. I must admit, it's probably when you look at what could have happened in a window, we were worried that some of our players were going to potentially be recalled. We felt early on that it probably wasn't going to happen with Stockport because of the players they had. But then they, as it happens, they went through an injury Crisis. So they recalled Lemonhay. And it looks now, what Joan Jackson was saying in the recent press, that it was potentially Joe Lewis was going to go back. And we decided that we would see if Stockport would sell. And of course they would sell if we gave them some money.
Which we did.
Yeah. And we don't know who's from.
No, we know nothing. No. Well, we know what happened there. It's sort of like it kind of played out how I thought it had at the time, which is they were going to recall him. I don't think he was ill for the Ipswich game. And we said we were desperate to keep hold of him. So we said, let's come to an agreement here, and we've got it over the line. So we have got Joe Lewis, and we've also got two other players in.
Ronan Curtis is someone I've walked past many times at the training ground. Even when I was recording some footage for the live show, he sneaked in with Jake Reeves and I didn't recognise him. So I don't think I'm ever going to recognise Ronan Curtis.
Well, hopefully the name on the back of the shirt and the number will there.
Yeah, I'm getting too old. I can't even see the names on the back of the shirt.
No, I can't.
And we've got John Kamani Gordon from the Palace.
Yeah. Got promoted last season with Carlisle.
Yeah, his actual full name is John Kamani Linton Michael Gordon.
Okay.
We're just calling John. I don't know what he's going to be called, to be fair. We're just calling John for sure. But yeah.
Let's call him JK.
JK. But you know what? If you look at him, obviously he's highly rated at Palace, 20 years old, 21 next month. And already had some decent loans already at a young age. So, yeah. He looks a size, doesn't he? He looks as certainly, look at how we play physically. We want someone with presence and stuff like that. So definitely that. And by all accounts, Cambridge didn't do great at Cambridge. But sometimes, Cambridge obviously got rid of their manager as well. So that never helps when you get a loanee in. But sometimes people don't fit teams. That's how it is, And we've tend to get our recruitment well. So like him, Ronan has been training with us apparently for about a month and a half. So the good thing about him is that he's probably ready to come in straight away and play. And he's not as if he's going to look that he doesn't know a team, because actually he's been training with us. It's like having a long-term injury back. I know he's been out with injury, but it's like having your own player out with a long-term injury who knows your squad anyway, and just coming back in. So, yeah, looks good.
27 years old. I thought he was older than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a lot of games for Pompey, 184 games. That's a lot. And, providing international as well. So, look, do you know what? It suits everybody, doesn't it? He's obviously, I like the idea that he feels like, I don't know this, but it looks like he's repaying us back in a way. Obviously, he's not paying for nothing, I'm sure. But he's sort of repaying, obviously, we've got the ex-Pompey physio at Wimbledon. So that's obviously the connection there, I would assume. And we've done a rehab for him, and he's obviously more stable. So we've obviously made a good impression on him in terms of the squad and that, which is good, because that's what you want, isn't it? And we've been able to attract a player that, let's be honest, we might not have been able to attract in other circumstances. So, but another attacking option, goals. So it's not too bad at the moment. I was going to say very quickly about Joe Lewis. There is a podcast interview coming up. We recorded it last week. So on the official podcast, that will be coming up. And he's a very humble lad. I did say to Joe, I'm not too sure to say you're a new signing, an old signing, a returning signing. He didn't really know. But the interview, I won't spoil the interview, but the interview is really, really good. And it's quite apparent when you speak to Joe that he wanted to be with us. He loves it with us. So I think he was instrumental in getting the deal done, as much as the money.
You mentioned an interview with the official podcast. I thought we were the official podcast.
I'm not too sure what the official podcast is, to be fair. But yeah, Josh Davison, Joe Lewis, someone else, that should be out. I think any day now it should be out.
We look forward to that when that arrives. Before we move on, because we're talking about Ronan Curtis and John Kamani Gordon potentially now in line for debuts away at Milton Keynes of all places, but before we look ahead to the week coming, the Crawley game obviously was postponed this weekend, but my Aaron's Supermatch game this week was semi-inspired by a fixture with Crawley. So, Stu,
Okay.
as you remember, our first meeting with Crawley as a Football League club, or when we returned to the league, was actually a preliminary round League Cup game with them at Broadfield Stadium in 2011. We lost 3-2.
Yeah.
That was on a Friday night, irritatingly. Do you, though, remember who our opposition were, our first opponents in the first? I should do this in the Aaron Sir Supermatch game. I've not written it down, you see, I've not done a script. So I should present this as like the Aaron Sir Supermatch game. So I should say the following season, we played in the first round of the League Cup for the first time as AFC Wimbledon, and that was against blank blank.
I'm going to go on a hunch. Was it Coventry City?
No.
Boom. That was a game that Ross Water was late for, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in the
FA Cup. That was the FA Cup.
Wasn't
it? Yeah. That wasn't the League Cup.
So that's where you fell down, I'm afraid. Do you want a clue of some
yeah, we'll.
Might help? It was the it marked the debut of one of our most famous signings, Louis Harris.
Yeah, that really helped. It's a double name, isn't it? So
well, actually,
I don't know.
It's well, it I thought it was at the time. But actually, by that point, I do apologise. This might give you away. By that time, it had actually reverted to just a single name. So it was just blank. Sorry.
Stevenage.
Yeah, there you go. Because at the time, I thought they were still Stevenage Borough, but I just double checked and no, it was just Stevenage. Yeah.
I don't know why they changed from a borough. Were they trying to change to a city or a town? Or I don't know, or did they go bankrupt? Did they owe some people some money?
Let's not talk about football clubs going bankrupt. You've got enough trouble this week as it is. By the way, thank you for stealing my gimmick of annoying people on social media. Thanks for that. Yeah. But anyway.
I made one comment. I got absolutely slaughtered. That's why there should be football on a Saturday, because it saves me going on social media, which is social media, right? I can't get things into 140 characters because I like to talk 140 characters. But of course, with Twitter, formerly known as, sorry, no, X, formerly known as Twitter. I love the way I do that.
The artist formerly known as, yeah.
You can pay for extra characters, but am I going to pay for extra characters? No. Hey, look, do you know what? Talking face to face is great. Come and talk to me, because damn, I can't get my thoughts into 140 characters.
Yeah, and we probably haven't got enough time really to go into that whole issue either, to be honest with you. But similarly, if anyone's, I offer the same. If anyone would like to speak to me about the issue with Reading and what have you, then I will gladly do that. All I would just say very, very briefly, by the way. And of course, I defend anyone's right. If they want to show support for any other football club in whatever way they choose, that's up to you to do. That's fine. That's you crack on. Free speech and all that. Absolutely. But if we're going to do it, and if you are going to do it, don't wait until the clock hits 16, okay? Because then you're doing it in the 17th minute. It's really, really irritates me. Like, between 16:00 and 16:59, people are going to clap. And I'm like, that's the 17th minute. That doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
I always get confused when they used to say the goal was scored in the 49th minute. And I'd be thinking, but no, it's a 48th minute. And I'm, I always just get confused with that. So thank you for that clarification. But
1889, when we were formed, was actually the 19th century.
Yeah. Hey, look, I wasn't saying, very quick, I wasn't saying we shouldn't be helping Reading. Of course, we should. Every club, every football fan should be helping every club that's possible. It's just the clapping. I turn off the clapping when it happens for Premier League games. I think
I'm not a fan of the clapping thing. Don't get me started. You know my thoughts on this, and it gets me into trouble with minute silences and minutes applause and remembering.
Yeah, I don't even clap the away fans. Why do I want to clap the away fans? I'm glad you turned up to pay them, and I don't give a monkeys whether they're here or not. I'm not going to clap them. Yes, it's when you given what my thing is, right? You've given them grief for like the whole 60 minutes, and then they say, "I'm here, there." You go, "Oh, well done." No,
yeah,
no, I hate it. I've always hated it. Anyway, sorry.
On March the 2nd, we certainly won't be doing that. But hey.
No.
and we won't be doing it on Tuesday night either, because there's going to be no fucker there. But we do travel to Franchiseville on Tuesday night. Not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but purely on a football level, they've lost two of their last three. They lost to Morecambe on Saturday, hilariously. My only worry with them losing is that, do they lose two home games on the bounce in quick succession? I'm not sure, but it'd be beautiful.
No, it'd be great. Hey, look, it's a tough fixture. Take away all the shit around it. It's a tough fixture. But we've got two new players, and we could surprise, yeah, not surprise them. I think, hey, look, we're very close to each other in the league. We can go above them. Not that it gives me any, I don't know, I judge how we get on. in a league against, you know, how I don't justify finish above them of how we do well in a league, but we can go above them into the playoff places again, which is looking really tight at the moment. It's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be exciting running to the last part of the season. Definitely, there's a lot of places up for grabs in those playoffs.
I mean, it's a really tough run of games, isn't it? So we have that lot, and then we go into Mansfield on Saturday. Then we go Bradford away, which I know hit and miss, but still a tough place to go. We have
what Bradford turns up.
Say again.
What Bradford turns up?
Yeah,
Bradford
exactly,
it's a weird one, isn't it? But look, it's a tough run of fixtures. You know, the quicker we can get our full team back, the better. Because I think, do you know what, the additions we've got, and the window isn't even shut yet. What, we've got about another 10, 11 days, 9 days.
Yeah.
You never know what else might be around the corner. So, you know, I think this might be, touch wood, this might be one of those January windows where we come out stronger than we entered it, which is a rarity for us.
Just looking at the table, actually, yeah, we're 3 points outside the playoffs, but we're also 3 points away from 15th.
So, yeah, it's really tight. But I expect us to finish. Hey, look, I really think we can finish in those playoff places. I really do, with the attacking threat we've got. And I'm sure we'll give it a go.
I'm sure we will. And updates, of course, will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast. And there you have it. Obviously, there was very little football played on Saturday because of all the postponements and things like that. But some interesting things to note. Crewe got a fantastic win away at Barrow. And Newport did actually beat Wrexham, 10-man Wrexham, who had a man sent off early days. But fair play Newport, who have got the visit of Manchester United to look forward to very shortly. And a quick note to say that the BBC website is still informing us that Mansfield versus Sutton on Tuesday night will finish 0-0. So I'm not sure. I mean, this is the Ivan Toney influence, perhaps. But, you know, and I've made my thoughts clear on that on social media as well. How ludicrous. Like, this, he's not resurrected from the dead, but how he was treated that way. And I found it very, very bizarre.
Yeah, I found it amazing. And it just makes you chuckle when he's still got a betting logo on his shirt. I'm sure he want to try and keep away as far price possible. And I'm sure he doesn't get any free bets from them either. But yeah. I don't know. And also he wants to leave, doesn't he, as well?
Apparently.
Yeah. But there's no loyalty in football, so Brentford should not expect it. And Ivan Toney should not give it either, because they just, well, he needs some more money, doesn't he, to put some more, anyway, just go away from that.
But all just very quickly, Stu, because we have got about 90 seconds. The whole thing with the situation that Reading find themselves in, I do implore people to, if they can, source an article, Gregor Robertson at the time summed it up really, really well.
He's really good here, isn't he? He's a really good journalist.
He has done very well. So your former footballer turned his hand to journalism and is actually a really excellent columnist in the Times. But all of this stems, all of this, as I keep saying to you, is a direct result of the obscene amounts of money at the top end, highest level of the game. Everything totals all the way down with this one, because we see the knock-on effect of salaries, and the salaries are probably the biggest problem in this whole thing as well that's leading this, because it means budgets and people spending money they don't have. Again, might want to do some introspection there, some of us at this football club. They won't. But that's where it all stems from. So until that's sorted, this happened time after time.
And my point with Reading is, it's not that I don't want to support Reading. I think if any Reading fans want anything, I just don't think a minute's applause does anything, if I'm being honest with you. And that might sound a little bit harsh, but I'd rather fight for the independent regulator. I'd rather get behind that and make sure that gets in. Again, that won't do everything that it needs to do. It wouldn't stop a Reading owner, wouldn't get them out. But, you know, the financial side of it, I'm full behind that. But it's more than Reading. To me, it's more than Reading, you know. And, yes, they're in the shit at the moment. But there's other clubs that are not far away from that, as we fully well know.
On that note, I'm going to have to be very quick. Thank you very much for joining me, Stu.
Thank you.
Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.